Hey, it's Jody Hamilton.
And Sean Smith-Pierce.
Here's a taste of what you might have missed from the Politics Bar.
Jody, I was listening to you this morning, filling in for Steph. You and Chris were debating, and just for the record, Jody is right. Chris's argument is that there is some truth to what's being said about the left being in their own information silo. Right.
Basically, we started talking about how Gavin Newsom has invited people on his podcast, High Up MAGA Guys.
Yeah. Well-known right-wing propagandists. That's what they are. Yeah.
And my argument is he shouldn't be inviting them because nobody on that side is listening to Gavin Newsom.
Right. It doesn't help to bring propagandists into a sphere where truth matters because they're just going to lie their asses off anyway.
Right.
So here is a public service message for Chris Lavoie. Jody Hamilton is right. Catch all that and more weeknights at the Politics Bar. Available through your favorite progressive radio station, your favorite podcast player, or online anytime at thepoliticsbar.com.
The world went dark. The sun goddess had vanished, hiding herself in a cave, leaving everything in shadow. Why did the goddess hide herself away? It had everything to do with her brother. Of course.
Brothers.
Centuries later, I walk the trail that gods once walked, under towering cedars, beside my own brother. Will history repeat itself? History is not boring, unless you're doing it wrong.
Welcome to Rainy Day Rabbit Holes, where the West gets wild and so do we.
I'm Shay.
And I'm Jody.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole. We are continuing our tour through the legends of Japan, alongside my own Japan adventures. And now I imagine music. Okay. So a few weeks ago, in case you don't know.
Nope.
You don't know anything about this? My brother and I set off on roughly 7 miles of mountain paths. It was not our only hike.
I'm so jealous.
In Nagano Prefecture. To visit a shrine unlike any other. The destination, Togakushi Shrine, a cluster of sacred sites tucked deep into the woods around Mount Togakushi, joined by forest trails, ancient cedars, mossy steps, and silent reverence. I expected beauty. I didn't expect to walk through legends.
Legends.
Because Togakushi isn't just a shrine. It's the earthly grave of a divine doorway.
To?
Divine doorway.
Do, do, do.
Okay, so.
To divinity. It's a doorway to divinity.
Exactly. So, this is episode number 5.
Yeah.
Okay, according to ancient Japanese legends, Amaterasu, the goddess of the sun, and the most important deity in the entire Shinto religion, is a sister of Tsukuyomi, the god of the moon, and Susanoo no Mikoto, the god of sea and storms. Susanoo is multifaceted, with both good and bad characteristics, but had a tendency to cause chaos and war in the lands. He was wild and impetuous and caused his family no end of grief. He was brought into existence when his father was purifying himself in a river, and he was born when his father washed his nose.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, there is a lot of bacteria in there. Did one go rogue?
I guess. Susanoo, who missed his mother, kept crying and howling until his beard grew long, causing the mountains to wither and the rivers to dry up. Causing his father to expel him to the underworld.
Holy cow, that beard is powerful.
On a newborn. I don't know. It was very confusing. Anyway, before going to the underworld, he wanted to meet with his sister, Amaterasu, to say farewell. The details vary, but they had a fight over some deities that were born from... Okay, this is very confusing. They were born from some ritual between them that involved chewing swords...
Swords.
It's involved and confusing.
Was there a corpse?
There was a corpse. And there were swords. I don't know. But anyways, they chewed some swords. Some deities were born. She was like, hey, those deities are mine because I chewed those swords. And her brother was like, no, they're mine because I'm the boy.
Sibling.
And they were male deities, so they're mine. So Susanoo, and I'm probably not saying that right either, proceeded to wreak havoc on his sister's rice fields, defecated in her palace, flayed her favorite horse, and then killed one of her weaving maidens. So he flayed the horse and then flung the horse's corpse, and it hit one of her maidens that was weaving at a loom and killed her. So furious, the sun goddess then sealed herself into a cave, plunging the world into darkness.
I feel her.
Yes.
I feel absolutely. Her. I feel her. I have a brother.
At Thanksgiving, and you would have liked to have
and I am
sealed the world in darkness.
As like her, I would be okay, I've had enough of this. I am going to close up shop. We are done. Yes. I would totally have shut it off like her too. Yes. I'm feeling her.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm a cutter. I cut people out. Like
she's
boom.
The sun goddess and controls all the light in the universe.
Oh, shoot. You better probably be nice to her.
So she's sealed herself into this cave. So no light in the world. So
just in the cave. Like if you're in the cave, is there light? Because she's light. Okay.
But she sealed it off. So the rest
only
of the world,
she's in there.
Yep. The rest of the world dark. So deprived of light, the world was thrown into chaos and confusion.
Good for her.
The rest of the gods got together to figure out what to do. Want to know what their cunning plan was?
Probably something stupid because I feel like you're
a bunch of boys.
Right. You're referring to them as.
Yes. Yeah. And I would also like to know, but we'll get into it after this break.
We should be a little. Okay. Let's go back. I don't want to cut on all men. Let's not cut on all men.
Not all men. Hashtag not all men.
Right.
But most
men.
Okay, well, after this break, let's see what the men come up with.
I choose the bear.
Same. So Amaterasu, the sun goddess, has locked herself into a cave because her crappy little brother, Susanoo, the god of seas and storms, is a ripe brat. The other 8 million gods at the time.
Oh, wow. That seems like more gods than actual people to worship them.
Yeah, at that time, they had to figure something out. So the wisest of all the gods, Omoikane, came up with a brilliant plan. Let's throw a party to tempt her out. Mm-hmm. They threw the wildest party that they could imagine with singing and dancing and drinks. And it was craziness and awesome. The goddess of humor, dancing, happiness, and joy, Ame no Usume no Mikoto, performed a sexy dance that caused the gods to shout and laugh.
Did that entice her?
Yeah. So curious, she peeked out of the cave. But right in front of the cave entrance hung a huge mirror called the Yata no Kagami, which the gods had crafted for this purpose. Amaterasu, which again, I'm probably butchering that, apologies to anybody who knows Japanese more than I do, became entranced by her own lovely reflection. She was transfixed. This gave the other...
I still relate with her.
She's like, God, I'm hot. I look really good. What? My skin looks really good in this
light.
What
happened? Look at me.
So this gave the other gods the opportunity they needed. Ame no Tajikaru, the god of strength, forced the cave door open and light shone out into the world again. Ame no Tajikaru flung the rock door of the cave into the mountains and it became Mount Togakushi. And a holy seal was placed over the mouth of the cave so that she could never go back in there. And Togakushi literally means door cover.
Oh.
So it's Mount Door Cover.
Mount Door Cover.
Mm-hmm. Some 2,000 years ago, 5 shrines were created out Mount Togakushi in the Nagano Prefecture to enshrine the gods of this story. Shrine 1, Hoko Shrine or Hokusha, is actually unrelated to the story. But it's a power spot with an enshrined deity that protects women and academics. Shrine 2, Hinomikosha Shrine, is dedicated to Ame no Usume no Mikoto, the dance and joy goddess. So that's a great place for dancers and performers to visit.
Okay.
Shrine 3, the Kuziryu Shrine, I'm butchering that as well, is dedicated to Omikane, the god of wisdom. This shrine is visited for good luck on exams and tests. It's also referred to as Togakushi Jinja Chusha, which is middle shrine. Before getting to the final two shrines, you must pass through the Zushishinom Gate. I said that wrong too. Then walk another kilometer.
Oh, one more after that.
Yes.
It's plus one.
Yes. So shrine four, the Kuzuru.
Okay. Kuzuru too many shine. Champagnes. Kuzuru. I know you got this.
Kuzuroshi Shrine. Said that wrong too. Is another one not related to the story, but it's the oldest of the five shrines, and in my opinion, the coolest. The name for the shrine translates to the nine-headed dragon shrine. Legend has it that a nine-headed dragon used to terrorize the area until a monk came and sealed the dragon inside a cave as the guardian god of the mountain. Now the dragon is the deity of water and dental hygiene.
Oh, that goes with water.
Absolutely. You use the water to get your teeth clean.
Absolutely.
And
together.
A nine-headed dragon, that's a lot of teeth.
Well, so I'm thinking in my head as you're talking about this, like they are so desensitized to dragons that you need a nine-headed a to be impactful.
To like move the meter.
Yeah. Otherwise, two heads, not a thing. Who
One
cares?
Regular head, been oh my there, God, done you're that. Boring. Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Shrine five, the upper shrine or Okusha Shrine is dedicated to Ame no Tajikaro, the god of strength. This is considered the most important shrine of them all. People from all over the country make the trek here to pray for good luck, fulfillment of wishes, bountiful harvests, and triumph in sports.
Oh,
sports.
See?
It's your shrine.
My shrine.
The path to the five shrines is through the quiet and majestic forests of Mount Togakushi. An hour-long bus ride from Nagano City up winding roads, and we were dumped on the side of the road next to a little temple with very little idea of where to go from here.
Terrifying.
No. Because you just say yes to Japan. So, luckily...
you're going to have to do some work on me in the next year and a half.
We were not the only foreigners to want to do this that day, so we just followed everybody.
Oh, there you go. I can do that.
And in fact, then we were like, well, no, there's all these people that just want to take pictures. So we just waited for everybody else to leave. We were met by a massive stone torii gate. And on the other side were some foo dogs. And
what's a foo dog?
Those are those big, like, Chinese dogs.
Yeah.
And there's always one with mouth closed, always one with mouth open. One is female, one is male. I can't remember which is which. Mm. Mouth open or mouth closed?
I guess.
Mouth open is probably female.
I was guessing that.
And it's kind of fun because there'll be different types of foo dogs in the different areas you go. And sometimes they're like really swole. Sometimes they have fancy butt holes.
Swole?
Yeah. They'll have like really big chests. They're all swole. Anyway. Also, a blessed toilet.
Oh, with a heated seat?
No, it was very cold. But we did use the toilet. And after availing ourselves of the facilities, we set up our first set of stairs leading further up the mountain. Majestic cedar trees lined the stairway, towering into the sky above us. Each shrine was more majestic than the last. Intricate carvings on each shrine helped to understand the deities they honored. But the higher we got, the colder we got. There was actually snow piled up shadows of the shrines. So this is how far up in the mountains we were.
Wow.
Finally, after a few hours of walking, we came to the last and most challenging part of the journey, the path up to the fifth shrine. This is the one that's most traveled, as you can take a bus to the base of the path, and the most photographed, as the path is lined with towering 800-year-old cedar trees. You must pass through a massive red gate with moss-covered roof before beginning to ascend up the steep stone steps. This
Got
is
it.
The picture you will most often see on Instagram or websites.
Oh, wow.
As
and you've been there.
I've been there. I 100% guarantee most of those Instagrammers have not walked as much as we did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, they went and got their photo op and posted
exactly.
It.
As we crested the top of the stairway, we were greeted by two crouching foo dogs guarding a sacred spring. Now, these were actually interesting. I've never seen a foo dog that's crouching down with its butt up in the air. And then up a bit further was the shrine of the nine-headed dragon. And there we prayed for protection while driving.
In your, what was it called?
My K-car. The Wagoneer.
Thank goodness Revolution. You stopped by there.
And relaxation. Relaxation.
Yes.
Revolution.
Because they're the same thing to the Japanese culture. The work culture.
Around the corner from the shrine was the fifth and final shrine of our journey, half buried in a stone cave in the mountain. And my phone died somewhere before the red gate, so I have no pictures of all of this.
And
my
Jason's
brother does.
Too? Okay. At least there's somebody who documented it.
I just
it.
Have to get him to send them to me.
Yeah, that's a boy thing, so good luck.
So we had 5 hours to complete this hike, but from when the bus dropped us off to when we were going to have to take the bus back down to Nagano. It was an hour-long bus ride. Remember, my phone died. And I just had my little watch on my hand and I wasn't really looking at it because I was living the moment. We got up to that upper shrine and I realized we had been going for 4 hours. We had 1 hour to go 4 miles.
Oh, no.
Back down to where we started.
So you were doing in 25% of the time.
So I was like, hey, I mean, it was all uphill. Mm-hmm. That four
right,
miles.
So it's going to be faster.
It was a mile per hour. It'll be faster. I was like, can we make 4 miles in 1 hour? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, well, we better fucking run.
Yeah, downhill. How are your knees?
Yeah, that was an issue down the steps. But mm-hmm. then you get to like, so the Google Maps was like road, not the path. So you get down out of like the path and then you get to road. And it was like, yeah, your fastest way is to go road. So we are on the road running.
Oh, my.
And cars are passing
crazy
us.
Crazy Americans.
Yes. And coming towards us, several taxis. And I was like, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't really want to run. I was running and he was like way behind me. He was like, I don't really want to run. And I was like.
So you're the worker outer.
I was like, dude, I don't want to miss our bus. Like, yeah. I purposefully, though, did not schedule us on the last bus. We would have had another bus an hour later, but I was like, I don't know what that's going to entail. Are they going to like be like,
right.
No, you missed your bus, you can't get this
and
bus.
74 people waiting for the same spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, we got to make this. I was like, Jason, should I just flag down a taxi? He's like, yeah, do it. So I was like, Takoshi,
I love you. This is one of the reasons I will likely say yes to a trip with you.
Well, I'm willing to adapt.
Because I would cry and wonder how we were going to survive.
No, I saw three taxis go past me and I was like, there's taxis up here. I will take a taxi. Because
I'd lay down and cry.
Hand out, Takoshi. He over to the side of the road. We jump in. We're panting. And I was like, I don't even know how to say like where we're supposed to be.
Because oh, yeah.
I was like, hooked it up.
Oh, and your phone's dead. So your translator's
gone. I'm on Jason's phone and he's got it set up some weird way. And he's a man, so he doesn't like to actually look at the directions. He likes to just like look at the map
the
and
word.
Be like, we're going to go this way. I'm looking at my hand as if it's a map
first
and just rubbing
this
hand over
road,
it.
Then take a left on this
no,
road.
No, he's not actually going to look at directions. He's just going to look at a map and intuit, like.
Know it.
Know exactly how he's supposed to go. Okay, so the guy makes a U-turn and starts creaming down these mountain roads. And they are narrow and windy. And I'm hanging on, like I'm sweating. Also, Japan.
I'm not happy about this. I feel like I'm never going to see you again, even though I'm looking at you.
No, but okay, so that's fine. But here's the thing about Japan is we're up in the mountains. It's cold. Like I was cold that day. Oh, here's the other thing is I only brought enough clothes for like 4 days, knowing that I was going to do laundry twice when I was there. But I bought a couple of shirts at a flea market and I'd worn all of my shirts twice. And I was like, We go to the hotel and I'm like, let's do laundry. But I thought I was going to do laundry the night before. I go to use the laundry machine and the front desk is like, oh, no, it's not available till 7 a.m.
What? During the time when you want to be out doing
well,
things, being a
tourist. Our bus was at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's enough time. We'll do it at 7. Do the wash load, put in the dryer, and you cannot open it after you put your money in and set the cycle.
So you have to wait till it's done.
Well,
even if your bus is coming and you would have taken
it. Our bus was coming and I was like, I can't even open it. So I let the front desk know. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like we have to leave it in there because our bus is going to be here. And I paid for it and it was expensive.
Yeah.
This bus ride was like $35 to go up and back. And they were like, okay. And what time are you going to be back? I told them and they're like, that's fine. But the problem was, is I put literally every single one of my
shirts. Oh no, you're naked.
I had no shirts.
You're
so I had
naked.
To borrow one of my brother's t-shirts. And so then I just have my coat and I'm cold. And so it's freezing.
Wait. So you were going down to switch the laundry naked. You're talking to the desk agent naked.
So
what are you doing with
their
top?
They provided pajamas. Oh. So I was wearing hotel provided pajamas to do all of these things. Which hung to your knees. It was like a night
no,
shirt.
No, I feel like you wanted that though.
Yes.
That is your style.
Oh my God. So anyway, so running down this road, it's cold out, but we're sweating. And then we jump into this taxi and it's 85 degrees inside. And
so everywhere. You didn't need a shirt. It's fine.
Inside, when you go inside in Japan, wherever you are, it's 11 billion degrees. It
oh,
could
really?
Be 60 degrees or negative 60 degrees outside. Inside, it is going to be 85 degrees.
Okay, so again, I am in. Like, you're selling sweat.
Yes.
You're selling. I hate going inside and getting cold.
Like, no, I was hot inside, sweating everywhere I was in Japan. I was hot.
I'm just going to wear a tank top everywhere we go.
Yes, and then coat over it. You have to wear layers so you can just shed your layers. Anyway, so we jump in this taxi. We're creaming down the road. And the thing is like these roads are narrow. They're windy. And as he goes around a turn, he is fully in the other lane, like the oncoming lane. And you're
the
just
taxi.
Like,
oh my God.
We're going to die. It's fine. And then I'm like,
did you think of me?
I did. But also, like, I was like, I don't know exactly where we're supposed to be. And I'm like looking on the map going like, I don't recognize any of this because we didn't take
like
the road.
Like, you're going the wrong way.
Well, we didn't take the road. We took the path through the mountains.
Yeah.
But then finally I see coming around the corner, I was like, there's where the bus dropped us off. And I was like, stop. here. And he just over the side of the road, and we like give him 1,200 yen and jump out, which is like $8. Worth it. And there's no tipping in Japan. So you're just like, $8. Arigato gozaimasu.
Peace.
Out. And we, and then, Jody, the bus was 20 minutes late.
Oh,
you would have made it.
Okay. I think it's hilarious how on cue we are for 17 drinks of champagne.
But, like,
we are totally finishing each other's sentences.
So I forgot to turn off my watch before I got in the taxi.
Oh, yeah. What did it say?
So my average was 36 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. Nice work.
But
that's your goal. I mean, that's your record.
It would have been 8 miles round trip if we had just gone up and come straight back, like, and done every path 8 miles that day. But anyway, that was my other big hike in Japan. That was the Togakushi Shrine. So
I'm excited.
It was very spiritual. 2,000 years old.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. Like, there's nothing here in that way. I mean, everything's obviously that old, but like, there's nothing marked that said humans were here and this is why and this is what it means to us. And this is what happened during that time era. And this is why this path is here and blah, blah. There's nothing that old here.
It was just, people were doing these religious things 2,000 years ago and they preserved it. And people still go there today and they go there for religious reasons. It's
really
interesting. Well,
thank you to those who saw that as something that would be amazing to preserve, because that's, I think, kind of what we do. Why we don't, I mean, obviously, America's not been around for as long, 2,000 years, right?
Yeah, so our culture,
right? America itself is what we call
and
it.
And the people that were here before didn't.
Well, we wiped them out.
We wiped them out. Also, they didn't do permanent.
And I hate saying we. I wasn't here.
White
but
colonizers.
But I do have to say that I am per DNA British, so I say we. I take ownership.
Because you did.
Because I did it.
I'm Irish and Cherokee Choctaw, so I was the victim.
I'm super jealous. I thought I was part Native American. No, I'm the villain in this story. 100%. Like 85% villain. I'm 85% British, according to Ancestry.com. That's pretty villainous.
Yeah. All right. We got to get out of here. This is the fifth episode. Anyway, that's our spiritual adventure to Togakushi Shrine.
I'm excited.
It did really have that deep spiritual energy when we were there. My brother said that was his favorite part of the trip.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was cool. We were deep in the mountains. Like, there's no reason to be up in this area except for these shrines.
This, yeah.
So it was very cool. Like, and also, there is a little bit of, on our trip, doing things that aren't on the normal tourist itinerary.
That's what happens when you get there more than once.
Yeah.
More than twice.
There were other white tourists doing this shrine walk the same day we were, but it was fairly few. A lot of the tourists on the upper part, because that's where it got the most well-traveled, because you could take a bus and then it was just like a 2 kilometer walk up to the upper shrine instead of the entire thing that we did, which was like, I don't know, 15 kilometers or something. I don't know math. I mean, 8 miles. What's 8 miles?
Yeah, I was just trying to
math it.
I think that is 12 kilometers, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway,
there's not a straight conversion, so it's not something you do in your head.
There's a little bit of like just appreciating being in a place that's not just a tourist trap.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I really do love places that I'm not really in the touristy areas.
Yeah.
I think I've done enough traveling and seeing the touristy areas to know that they're kind of fake. They're not authentic. They're there for money and a quick income, show you this fun thing and off you go.
Right.
And I prefer to just go wander where the actual natives or the residents of that area live and what they do and what they appreciate.
Well, in Japan, there's kind of like a, they call it the Golden Route, which is the typical first timer tourist thing to Japan. You go to Tokyo, you go to Kyoto, you go to Osaka. And I'm on Reddit a lot and that's everybody's like first time we're going to this. And it's always the same exact places. We're going here, 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 and here, and here. And there's a point where you can't, 30 million people can't do the same exact thing and it feel like an authentic experience.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And it is very crowded and touristy in those specific areas because that's just where everybody goes. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, Kyoto is cool, like the temples and all of the traditional things that are cool, but it's a lot less cool when there's thousands of tourists there at the same time you are.
I agree. It just becomes like a tourist thing and not
and
as it authentic.
Anxiety producing when you're shoved into a crowd and you can't move.
Not a fan.
So if you are considering going to Japan, there is so much more to Japan than Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka. Well,
just call Shay.
Yeah, call me. Just call me. It's fine. I will tell you where to go. Those places have their own special characteristics, which are worth visiting.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I were to create a first-time itinerary for somebody who wanted a more authentic Japanese experience, I would not send them to the Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka route. I would not send them on the Golden Route. I would say get a little bit adventurous. There are places that you can go that are as convenient to get to that you will enjoy a lot more. Togakushi Shrine is a little bit of a trek to get to. You have to go to Nagano. But Nagano is an hour and 20 minute bullet train ride from Tokyo. It is so fast. And then Togakushi Shrine is only an hour bus ride from Nagano.
Wow. So you could do like the highlights of the traditional first timers. You could probably do that in a day, are you saying? Or maybe 2 days. Just get the highlights and get out and go do the...
No, I would say you can get a better experience doing something other than those things.
Okay. You wouldn't even recommend doing those things.
Some of them, no. Like, Kyoto is beautiful, but... Are you going to absorb those experiences when a lot of people try to shove too much into one day? Mm-hmm. All these itineraries I'm seeing is like, you are going to be exhausted. You're not going to absorb any of it. You're not going to
be done with your day by the time you get to the third thing.
Yes.
And wish you were done.
You're going to be so packed in like sardines with other tourists.
I hate that.
That you are not going to enjoy this.
Literally why I love Kauai. I just feel like if I'm going to go somewhere... And Hawaii, that's where I want to go.
Yeah.
That's the reason, because I hate being in the tourist areas.
Same.
Yeah, so.
Well, and that's why I was like, I have a friend who wanted me to create a trip for her, and I was like, I'm not going to send you to Kyoto or Osaka at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. I was like, if you were somebody who was going to go back to Japan multiple times and become really proficient in being able to get around, and you wanted to like hit those spots up, but I wouldn't waste like my short precious time if you got 8 days in Japan on that. If you want something that's truly impactful where you can feel the true spirit of Japan, it's getting out into the rural countryside and into the mountains. It's not being in the city. And Tokyo has its own magic. Like Tokyo is bonkers, largest city in the world. There are parts of it where you just like Shibuya Crossing is something to behold, where 3,000 people or something like that cross the street at one time. It's a sea of humanity and neon lights, and it's worth seeing at least once. But
where else can you fly into and out of besides Tokyo? Like where?
Tokyo is where the international airports
are. What I was thinking. So you got to go through there anyway, typically. So you may as well spend some time seeing those highlights and then.
But Tokyo is so well connected and with all of Japan because of their public transportation system.
Right, right.
The bullet train system they've been working on for decades. So you can go almost anywhere in Japan in a matter of hours on this wonderful train. And it's comfortable. Like, you've never sat in an airplane seat that was as wonderful as a Shinkansen seat. Like, the leg room and just the wonderfulness of it. And it's so comfortable. And
it's quiet. It's quiet. Smooth.
The train is fast and it's so fast.
When you're watching things go by, is it a little disorienting? Is it so fast?
I haven't been on the fastest of them.
Oh, got you.
So, because those are the more expensive ones.
Yeah.
They're working on the MAG train that's going to go like 300.
Whoa, I don't know. That feels like not good for a human.
It's insane. But Nagano, highest point, like prefecture in Honshu, out in the mountains, gorgeous. 1 hour, 20 minutes from Tokyo. It's wow. Insane.
If you were to drive it, how far would that be? Do you know?
About 3 hours.
Okay. So it cuts it in half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2.5, 3 hours. And you also pay tolls. So you would pay much in tolls to go to Nagano as you would to just ride the bullet train if you were to drive. It's amazing. And then from there, like Kanazawa, which is an incredible city, like way more fun than Osaka, I think. Like way cooler, cool vibe. It's like a university town. 2.5 hours from Tokyo on the bullet train. Like, it's really well connected. I would send people out. Just think outside the box. Don't, if you're going to go to Japan, don't do the same exact thing that hundreds of millions of people have done before you. Think outside the box. Take it at risk. Take a little adventure. It's worth it. It's not as scary as you think it is. If I could do it, you can do it. You don't do Duolingo, you're fine. Just say arigato. Say sumimasen a lot.
Is that I don't speak Japanese?
Excuse me.
Oh, got you.
Say gomen nasai, which is I'm sorry.
Say that a lot. Yeah, yes. It goes far.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to me talk about Japan again. I'll be done with it someday. Until the next time.
Until the next time. Until 2027.
Exactly. When we go on the girls' trip, I'm going to do it. We're going to do it.
We're going to do it. You're talking today. You may have talked me into it before. I was like, oh, that's a lot of time and money for something I'm going to have to force myself to do.
Oh, you will love every second of it. And the toilets. The toilets alone are worth
right.
Going.
Might be worth it. The hikes. I'm so excited about the hikes you went on.
And the toilets.
And the toilet. After the hike. And then the soak.
During
after
the hike, you could have a nice warm butthole. It's lovely. Sorry. All right. Thank you to Letha Davis, our wizard of websites. Go to easybreezy.com. That's easy. And then breezy, BRZY.
Is that EASY or EAZY?
S. Normal okay. Spelling of easy, but just then breezy with
and
no
then
vowels.
The, with a Z.
With no vowels.
But of course, you can find it on our website because she is our legendary genius.
Made beautiful
of our
website.
It's so amazing. It's so functional. It's so pretty. I love looking at it.
It's darn good.
So I go to our website. It's my favorite website.
And thank you to Logan Hine for our social media work. It's like all our little cool little shorts and videos and stuff are all Logan Hine. They're amazing.
They are so amazing. They are all the things you and I wished we could do. And then this little genius showed up in our life and does it for us.
It's amazing. So Logan at redemptionindustries.com. If you are looking for some social media management, that is going to turn your brand into something very special. And thank you to all of our Patreons. Thank you to all of our supporters and listeners. If you would like to support us, Patreon, you can just for $5 a month get ad-free episodes, bonus episodes, and more. Find that all on our website, rainydayrabbitholes.com. Or if you just want to support us by giving us kudos.
Engagement. Give us engagement.
You know what? And right now we're really doubling down on our YouTube. So go over to our YouTube and give us a comment and a thumbs up on our videos. In fact, put those videos on in the corner of your screen and just let it play out to the end and just play all of them. Just play all of them.
Especially you work from home, friends. Play the whole season.
We get better algorithm pushes if people listen all the way through and also if people comment on the videos. So that is actually really helpful if you're just like, great video, great episode. And then we will respond and then it pushes us out to more people. So thank you.
So if you don't want to sign up for anything that has a dollar amount, you can still support us in that way. by engaging on our social media.
Absolutely appreciate it. And I'll be leaking pictures and whatnot from my trip on our social media. So Rainy Day Rabbit Holes Pod on Instagram. Thank you, everyone. And
see you down the rabbit hole.
Hey, it's Jody Hamilton.
And Sean Smith-Pierce.
Here's a taste of what you might have missed from the Politics Bar.
Jody, I was listening to you this morning, filling in for Steph. You and Chris were debating. And just for the record, Jody is right. Chris's argument is that there is some truth to what's being said about the left being in their own information silo. Right.
Basically, we started talking about how Gavin Newsom has invited people on his podcast, High Up MAGA Guys.
Yeah. Well-known right-wing propagandists. That's what they are. Yeah.
And my argument is he shouldn't be inviting them because nobody on that side is listening to Gavin Newsom.
Right. It doesn't help to bring propagandists into a sphere where truth matters because they're just going to lie their asses off anyway.
Right.
So here is a public service message for Chris Lavoie. Jody Hamilton is right. Catch all that and more weeknights at the Politics Bar. Available through your favorite progressive radio station, your favorite podcast player, or online anytime at thepoliticsbar.com.